So yes, as Jill said, this is the fifth of our little mini Alpha series. Previously we've looked at, is there more to life than this? Faith and prayer, why and how to read the Bible, and guidance from God. And then today we're looking at why and how to tell others. So as we come to think about this subject and to look at God's word, and to encourage one another as we look at this, let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we rejoice and trust in Jesus Christ, our King and Saviour. And we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to speak to us now as we look at some familiar passages, but speak to us afresh. Encourage us, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to have that desire to share what you have done in our lives with those that we live amongst. For your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So who's got some good news to share today? Anything at all? Anything anybody can shout out? Some good news? Thank you, Jill. Managed to find... Oh, lovely wedding dress for Jill's daughter. That's exciting and really, really good news. Any more good news? Connor Pasted Mocks. Fantastic. Well done, Connor. Send him our love. Anything else? We have. You're right, John. We have. Starting on Saturday, it's just going to be so lovely and so exciting. So, yeah, really, really good news. So, it's lovely, isn't it? We've all been a little bit reticent this morning, but it's still early. And it might be a bit cold, and it takes a while for our brains to get going. But there's always good news about it, isn't there? And what happens when you've got good news? You want to tell somebody about it. You've got to tell someone about it. You can't keep it to yourself. I've worked my last day shift before Christmas. No, I've got another couple of shifts. I worked my last shift before I have a proper holiday. 3 weeks off work, nursing. So that is just so wonderful. So I couldn't keep a beam off my face. When I walked out of the doors yesterday at 6 o'clock after an 11-hour shift, I was thinking, I'm off now for 3 weeks. And that was really good news for me anyway. Probably for my staff as well that I work with. 3 weeks of peace from Caroline. But there's always good news, isn't there? And it's lovely to be able to share things. So we're going to have a little look at a clip. And after the clip, I'm going to ask you to shout. I'll give you the question in advance so you can be thinking about it, so that when you turn and look at each other, you don't go, But I'm going to be asking you, who invited you to church when you very, very, very first came? I don't mean this morning, but way back for some, or maybe last week for others. Who actually invited you to come to church? So that's what we're going to ask each other after this clip. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. See, it's difficult to speak, isn't it? Sometimes you really want to tell someone about what it means to you to go along to church, what it means to know God, but you don't quite know where to start because it just seems so alien to the normal conversation that we have with people. Sounds weird, we fear of rejection. Some of us went to an event, a deanery event a couple of days ago with Michael Harvey. And he was talking about the culture of invitation. And he actually said some astounding figures, which I would have never believed if it hadn't been a deanery event. But, if I'd Googled it, I'd have thought, oh, yeah. But he said that 70% of Christians do have someone on their mind and their heart that they would like to tell, that they'd like to share about what it all means about going to church and knowing God. So what's happening? Think, 70% of all the churches, all the Christian communities around the country, around the world, 70%, they've got someone in their mind. So what's happening? Why haven't they done it? And where's all those people who've been invited? Why aren't they in church? But then he went on to say that 80 to 90% of Christians had no intention of inviting anyone to church. They knew of someone, God was putting someone in their heart, but they had no intention of actually inviting someone. But they would like to. They want to, but they don't do it. And as I've mentioned, a reason can be fear and embarrassment. Matthew called it the burning bush syndrome. Do you remember God speaking to Moses through the burning bush, and Moses said, "Oh, I can't do that. Who am I? I can't speak properly. I'm too shy. Nobody pays any attention to me." And God had to, you know, really tell him again and again, "You're going, you're going, you're going." The Bible is full of people who think that they can't do anything, but God uses them. And I can share about that with my life as well, with things that have gone on in my life. I would have never thought would happen. But God uses people. There's a lovely phrase that says, God doesn't look for equipped people, he equips people. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't look for people who are already equipped. He looks to people and he equips them. And that's a big thing to remember. Whenever we're going for a new job or a new house or anything different, it's frightening. There's nothing wrong with fear. Fear is a normal thing of how we feel about anything new or different or something that we're going to have to make that step to do. But you know, when I prepared to go out to Brazil, the very beginning, I was petrified. I was just saying, "No, God, no, you know, no way." And then the more I looked into it, I thought, well, I'll just look into it. And then it was a case of, well, actually, it does sound quite interesting. And it's just a step, it's a process. So when God asks us to do something, it's often a process. The minute you open that door and say, well, okay, but God equips us. And as we take that step, he'll then equip us as we take the next steps. I can really say that that is the truth. So we were hearing there from Nikki Gumbel that actions such as being kind isn't enough. It's not just saying, I'll really lead a good life, and people say, oh, isn't that wonderful? I want to know about God. No. We've got to, yes, have those actions of being kind, having time for people, being generous, but we also need to speak too. But it's in a way that is sensitive, appropriate, and thinking about the feelings of the other person. It's not just slamming against the wall and going, you need to hear something. So God might do that through the Holy Spirit to us, but it's not for us to do that. So I'd like you to just turn to each other, people behind you, people in front of you, and just say, how were you invited to church? What was it that made you accept? Can you do that? Thank you for 2 minutes. So just to fill you in with Julia's story, she became a Christian, but she was also a very keen rower, and she, along with other friends, formed Sport for Freedom. And she was saying that she was horrified, and as she widened her circles of friends, that to hear about modern slavery, of human trafficking, and it was something that really shocked her, bless you, and really just made her feel angry, but wanted to do something about it. But she was thinking, what on earth can I do about it? But anyway, she and her teammates, they took part in a race for life, race for freedom, and they rowed across the Atlantic. They were the only female, all-female team, along with other teams, and they rowed across the Atlantic, raising money and really raising awareness about human trafficking and slavery today. And it was brilliant. You know, they just raised a huge profile, and it was, we'll see in the next clip actually, that it came to becoming a law in our country, an act, and it became a law about human trafficking. And it was the first law of that theme, of that matter, since Wilberforce. So, you know, just her in her small part doing something that she always does, because she always goes rowing, but she went the extra mile, or several thousand extra miles, to just show, you know, what it means, how much it meant to her, the horror of it, and she wanted other people to know about it. And they formed a charity as well, which is just amazing. So what she said, which I really felt was very powerful, that none of us can do everything, but let's all do our something. And there is something that every single one of us can do. And it's talking about it, acting on it, but doing something. Not just saying, oh, my neighbour will do it, or someone else in church will do it. but what can I do? And there's always something that we can do, and that includes talking about our faith. Because as I said at the beginning of the clip, it should be just a natural thing. If you're aware of what God is doing in your life, people will notice it in you. But it's a shame when we then keep stum. And when people say, what do you do at the weekend? You know, what? And you just say, everybody in my hospital knows I go to church, but I don't ram it down their throat. But I just tell them things that I'm doing, things that I'm involved with. And they ask me the next week, oh, how did it go? And they want to know. And it just becomes a natural conversation of what you're doing. And so it's just to remember that Jesus said, as we saw at the very beginning, Jesus told us to go. He didn't say, you know, those who I've chosen, or if you feel like it, or when you've got time in your diary, if you've got a window. No, he said, go. Go and talk, invite and make disciples. It's a command from our Lord Jesus. So the thing I love about the Alpha Course is that, it's for people who don't know anything about the faith to be able to come and just hear, you know, people's stories, to understand a bit more about the Christian faith and to ask questions without being pressurised. But it's such a good boost for Christians as well. That's why I love leading, you know, being involved in Alpha Courses, because it's a constant rebooster, recharging, reminding us of who we are in Jesus and what we're called to do and how we can do it. And just hearing these stories of people, it's just so lovely, isn't it, that he was in the changing room and he was seeing people making sure they put the sock on in the right way, and they're asking him if he's weird, you know. they're making sure about what bit of item of clothing they put on in the right order and all this sort of thing to bring them luck. And then, you know, he's saying, this is who I found, this is what means everything to me and has changed my life. And, you know, that's what we can do. He didn't criticise people, he didn't knock people, but he just shared what he had. And that's what God asks us to do, to not be judgmental, to not be, keep harping on about other things that you're not happy about, but to just share about what God means to you, the good that he's brought into your life, and how it's changed you. I remember in one of the training sessions I did, this is donkey years ago, of keeping your story very simple and just saying what you were like before, what Jesus said to you, what has he brought changing you, and how your life is now. And those 3 points in sharing your faith keeps you from waffling, which is important for me, and it just keeps you to the point, but it gives you a strong message. What was life like without God? What did God do? And what is life like now, you know, with God? And it's a really good little frame if you wanted to talk to someone, if someone asks you. And if you pray, God, give me those conversations, God does give you those opportunities. But if you constantly say, ooh, not me, I'm not going to do it, you know, you won't see those opportunities to share about God. But he says, doesn't he, we have to be excited about it. And it's not a false excitement. It's not trying to whip up, you know, emotion. But it's just reminding ourselves the privilege and the joy of knowing Jesus as our Saviour and being able to share that enthusiasm with other people just by the way you say things. And yeah, if you say, oh, I'm going to church tomorrow, you know, they're not likely to want to feel very enthralled about coming along, you know. And so it is important that we have a responsibility in how we talk about our Christian family and how we talk about the things that we do. Not being false, but just being encouraging and wanting people to want to know more so that you can share with them without them feeling that you're Bible bashing them. Thank you. We're nearly there. So, just turning up that passage from 1 Peter 3, just starting at verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behaviour in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. So It is just talking, but always thinking about the other person, how they're feeling, and looking at their face and their body language, and how they're responding to what you're saying to them. And so you can steer the conversation around so that they keep in conversation without thinking, I'm going to say my bit, whatever they think, you know. It makes for relationships and people being prepared to listen. And it's just, again, this fear aspect. It's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel frightened. But just constantly ask God to give you his boldness. Not boldness in me, Caroline, in what I've done in the past and what I know from the Bible. But confidence and boldness in the Holy Spirit that's in me that wants to share and to give witness to Jesus. Last clip. Thank you. And after this clip, I'd like you to just, for our final little conversation together, just ask each other, if there's somebody that you have got on mind, what I've done, I'm going to hand out some pens, and after this clip, we're going to sing the next song, and if you'd like to, sorry, after the clip, we'll have a little conversation, then we'll sing the song, and in the song, I'm going to hand out some pens. You've got some little post-its at the end of your pews. Not asking you to give away people's names, because it might be confidential, but if you just want to put initials down of someone that you really feel that God is putting in your mind and he wants you to speak to, you might be trying to say, no, not me, God, I don't want to do it. But just put the initials down on a piece of paper and just come forward and just place it on the cross. We've got our little cross there. And just place it on the cross, and I'll bring it on the table. And if you genuinely can't think of someone that, you know, actually, I don't know who God would want me to speak to, put a question mark, a big question mark on the piece of paper, and still bring it up. And I can guarantee that if you pray that prayer, God will put someone in your mind or your heart that he would like you to speak to. So if you can't think of anybody, that's no get-out clause. Put a question mark on and bring that up as well. So if you feel able to do that, it'd be lovely, because sometimes when we just step out and do something positive, that's the first step of God equipping us and speaking out for him. Thank you. So we'll watch the clip, and then if you'd like to turn to each other and just talk about if there's someone on your mind that you feel you'd like to share about inviting to church or just having a conversation about the Christian faith. Thank you. So what was lovely about that was the persistence of the farmer. And then he had the brainwave of asking Billy to drive the truck. And we can constantly ask God to give us ways of just getting alongside people. It might not just be the literally just hammering again and again, come to church, come to church. But thinking of a way that shows that you care for them, that shows that you really want them to come and hear the good news. And so there may be different ways for different people, but he persisted. And whether it's even in prayer, not actually speaking to the person, but to keep on praying, don't be downhearted, but just leave the work to God, but pray for these people. So I'd like you to know, I'm just going to hand around some pens, and if you'd like to share with each other, you know, just if there's someone on your heart that you feel that God is asking you, so that they can pray for you in the coming days, weeks, months, as you try to approach this person by inviting them along to church or sharing the Christian faith. Just as people are coming to pop their paper on the cross, that's lovely. Brenda's just reminded me, I was trying to edit what I had to say today, but we did want to talk about at this deanery event that we were at the other day. Matthew talked about acorn. If you think of acorn, the tiny, tiny nut, and what it becomes, it has to be buried in order for it to bear fruit. And he looked at the letters of acorn, and A is for ask. Asking God, which is what we're doing now. We're bringing these names to God and saying, Lord, do you want me to speak to them? Equip me to speak to them. C is the call. It's to know that we are, we're all called. It's not just individual people, but we're all called to talk to people, to ask people. O is for obey, because it's a command from Jesus. And R is to report the result of it, the feedback. And N is for numinous, which is a very posh word, because it was a deanery synod. Not synod, is it? Deanery meeting. But numinous means the presence of God, of seeing the presence, being aware of the presence of God in what we're doing. And so, ACORN, ask, call, obey, the result, and numinous. If it's not got the presence of God there, it's all a waste of time. But it's asking God to be in that. And about success, it's not the result of what happens. It is God who changes people's hearts. And so the success is just us asking, inviting somebody. That is success. If every single person could invite one person in our whole life, that is success. But we're not to worry about how the response of that person, because that's in God's hand. Sometimes we worry too much about what will happen further down the line. That's not our responsibility. It's just our responsibility to ask, and that is success. And there's a lovely phrase as well from Oswald Chambers. God doesn't ask for success, but he asks for faithfulness. And it's being faithful, and it's wanting to do what God is asking us to do. Thank you. So we'll have our next song now.